me have a touch of thy spirit, Lord. Give me wisdom. Give me the gift of teaching. Our Father, give me unction to preach in a little while. And Father, I pray you'd have us the spirit of learning in this house today. Give us ears to hear that we may hear, a heart to receive your word, Father. Awaken us, Lord, to the times that we live in. Show us how near thy coming is. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Good to have everybody that's here. Amen. I know the time change, I'm certain, has affected some folks, and they didn't change their clock or what have you, but that happens. But in any event, I'm glad you're here. We're going to continue this morning with our lessons on the coming Antichrist. As I've said before, and say it again, anti, as used in the English language, is reduced to its simplest meaning. As we use it in the English language, simply against. But as used in Scripture, it means far more than simply against, you know. I'm anti this, I'm anti that. Is that the only way you've ever heard it? Certainly. But as used in the Bible, the term anti goes much further. As the Antichrist, the term means set over in contradistinction to. In other words, here's the true Christ, here's the Antichrist. Compare the two. That's the issue. He certainly is against Christ, but it goes much deeper than that. He tries to mimic him, to be another Christ, and to manifest himself as the true Christ, for he appears as an angel of light. So therefore, with the final deception that's coming on the earth, I don't think any of us have really thought seriously enough about how deceptive it will be. The Bible says, he said that it's possible that he would deceive the very elect. That deception, therefore, runs deep. The deception's already started. One of the things so necessary to understand about the transition from the age of grace that we live in now and the tribulation period, which is soon to come, is that the events that transpire from one dispensation to the next are gradual. The introduction of the Antichrist will, first of all, be preceded by a mind-changing philosophy of the people. The people's minds must be programmed to receive him. First thing you do, therefore, is change their thinking pattern. You do that through the public school system. You control education. The public school system has your children far more than you do, as far, especially when it comes to instruction. So you do that through a mind-altering thing. Of course, if you do that, that implies the very beginning there is a conspiracy involved. And there is. I played you an excerpt from a speech last Sunday morning from President Kennedy that was given in 1963. He was assassinated November the 22nd, 1963, in Dallas, Texas. I was sitting there when the news came, Rural High School. I was there. And I thought, it was a shocking thing. School stopped, everything did, when President Kennedy was assassinated. It was a profound thing. But in any event, he mentioned in that speech about a conspiracy. And so I played you that, and let me give you this little bit of warning about information that I give you. The website that I got that information from is not necessarily a Christian website. And when I give you information, it doesn't mean that I am approving the source of that information. Anyone that does any research at all, you know good and well, if you get into bibliography of a book and find footnotes and all that, you'll realize that there's no way that an author of a book can agree with all of the source material he uses, he or she. So we had a little controversy come up over the fact that the website that I gave you that information from was not a Christian website. Well, if you know the truth about the matter, I didn't even bother to see if it was a Christian website. I wasn't on there to support the website. What I did was to verify the information, made sure that it came from various sources and that I could authenticate it, and I did. And the speech is a real speech. It was given. President Kennedy gave that speech in 1963. And, of course, the same thing has to do with President Eisenhower and the speech he made about the military-industrial complex. And, for example, you see it today in Halliburton. And you know, if you know anything, you know that Halliburton their wealth is increasing exponentially because of the war in Iraq. And that takes nothing away from the bravery of our men and women who are fighting in Iraq. But the facts are facts, and somebody's getting rich. Wars produce a lot of wealth. And I told you how the Rothschilds have in the past invested in both sides of a war, both sides. And that's a very shrewd type of method, but they do. And the oil companies are enriching themselves beyond belief. And an enormous amount of the wealth of America is being transferred right now from this country to the Arab countries. And it increases. Every time they increase the cost of a gallon of gasoline and diesel fuel, wealth is being transferred from this country to the Arab countries. And so now the Arab countries are ready to loan money back into this country and start investing in our infrastructure. And that's quite a thing. I mean, that's something you ought to pay attention to. You pay so they can buy up America. And that's what's going on right now. And, I don't have time to get into all that this morning. I got a lot of material I want to cover, but I'm trying to give you an idea of where we stand. We live in a controlled society. We live under the eye of Big Brother. And he's preparing the world to receive a one-world government and a one-world ruler. The technology's here. We talked about the RFID chip, which is only one small part of it. The religious system's what I'll deal with this morning. The political system is being arranged, and you can see that happening right now. The big argument in Ohio about NAFTA, and 250,000 jobs have been lost in Ohio. Pennsylvania probably didn't fare any better. They call it the Rust Belt. The areas up there that had all the manufacturing 30, 40, 50 years ago, they're not manufacturing now. The reason they're not is because all the jobs have been exported. They want to pay someone $5 an hour to build their cars overseas and turn around and sell them back to you for $30,000. That's fact, folks. That's an incontrovertible fact. You can't get around that fact. They want to make big bucks. In other words, they could still build them in this country, but the profits wouldn't be as high. And, of course, you understand that it's sold on the stock market, and the people that buy the stocks, hold the stocks, they want the greatest profits they can get. And so an American puts it to an American, because a lot of Americans own the stocks of these companies. But it doesn't bother them a bit that these jobs are shipped overseas just as long as they make more money. Do you know what the Bible says about money? All right. It doesn't say money is the root of all evil. But it says the love of money. Now, mark this down. Mark this down. Anybody that loves money is your enemy. Think it through. Think it through. Because anybody that loves money is evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. And, of course, the church today, name it, claim it, blab it, grab it, prosperity preaching and all of that, you see exactly which direction it's headed in. All right. So now this morning, I'm going to start by telling you about who Jesus Christ is. A lot of people today have a problem with that because of the type of preaching we hear.
Yeah. Amen.
And because of the type of preaching we hear, Jesus Christ no longer has the unique identity that he once had. I want you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter number 3. Now, let me see here. 1 Timothy, chapter number 3, and verse number 16. Now, the reason I'm doing this is because it serves a number of purposes. Number one, to let you know what I believe about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And then what the Bible says about him. Without controversy, great's the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. All right. Now, in the book of Colossians, chapter number 2, verse number 9. Colossians 2:9. For in him, referring to the antecedent would be verse 8, Christ, for in him dwelleth the fullness of what? The Godhead bodily. All right, don't you turn to the book of John. Now, if you have a real Bible, your Bible will say the same thing mine does. In John chapter number 9, because this is important here, verse 35. Because all the other Bibles change this, just as they have 1 Timothy 3:16. Jesus heard they'd cast him out, and when he'd found him, he said to him, "Dost thou believe," and this is so important, "on the Son of God?" He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." All right. And there are those across the nation standing in pulpits this morning tell you that Jesus Christ never one time said he was the Son of God. Others said he was. And, of course, if you have any other Bible than the King James Bible, your Bible says, "Dost thou believe on the Son of Man?" That's insidious. Now, turn to the book of Revelation, chapter number 1. Revelation 1, verse 8. The revelation of Jesus Christ is when he tells you about what's coming. The revelation of Jesus Christ is when it tells you who he is.
Right.
So in verse number 8, he said, "I am Alpha and Omega, Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is to come, the what?" There's no mistaking that. There's no mistaking that. Jesus Christ is God. He's Almighty God. He's the Son of God. He's not a God. He's not an avatar. He's not the Christ. He is Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason I say he's not the Christ, not the Christ in the sense that the New Age movement uses it, because that's where we'll be moving into this morning. The Bible is very clear about who Jesus Christ is. He is God Almighty, manifested in flesh 2,000 years ago. He is God. Anything less than that is pure heresy and is poison. Jesus Christ does not stand with the other gods. Jesus Christ is God that all will bow before. There is none greater than him. There is none equal to him. Jesus Christ is Lord, God Almighty. Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." Jesus Christ did not rebuke him for that. When they fell before the apostles and talked about him being Jupiter and the star that fell down from heavens, "Get up from there. Get away from me. I'm just a man like you are." But when the Son of God had them fall at his feet, they remained at his feet. Rightfully so. He's the Lord God. Now, if you get that right, you'll be okay in a lot of things. And you can be wrong on Sabbaths, and you can be wrong on church polity, and you can be wrong about denominations and all of this and all of that. But if you've got Jesus Christ right, then you can be saved.
Amen.
And headed to glory. Amen. You get him wrong, and I don't care what church you go to, and I don't care how long you've pastored, and I don't care how much you know. If you don't have the Son of God right, you'll never be in heaven. You'll never make it. The identity of Jesus Christ is what that New Testament is about. It's what it's about. It's who is he? Well, you'd think that would be sufficient on the face of it, but it's not, because a whole new thinking has entered in.
Yes.
And this new thinking has been developing. Like I said at the beginning, it did not happen overnight. This is a progressive thing. One builds upon another. First you lay a false foundation, then you begin to build on that. And from that you go shoot this way and that way, and accept it as a given fact, which it is no fact at all. But we live in a civilization today that cannot differentiate between black and white, red and yellow, up and down, in and out, right and wrong. They don't know the difference. They don't know the difference. They have lost simple, logical thinking. Just a few days ago, a kid out here in out west somewhere took a 12-gauge shotgun, blew his daddy away. Why'd he kill him? Why in the world would a child, 15 years old, take a 12-gauge shotgun, kill his dad? You know what he did? You know what horrible thing his dad did? He took him off MySpace. That's sad. That's sad. Because I don't see very many kids outside getting dirty. I don't see kids out. That kids aren't kids anymore. They're glued to a TV or a computer. Their life is wasted on stuff like that. They don't know how to play. An arcade game, and you look at the arcade games. So what's happening? You're seeing it now after about 50 years of mind altering, you're seeing it in this generation. This generation is not in touch with reality. To kill your father over MySpace says there's something wrong, not thinking up here. See? You're cut loose from reality, and that's exactly where they want them. They want them to become, they want the masses of the people to be where they cannot logically think. Then they can be more easily controlled. And that's what they want. And that's why they have to have two classes of people. They have to eliminate the middle class. And the way you eliminate the middle class is through the economic system. The way you eliminate the middle class is what's happening right now. So you have to have two classes of people. You have to have a lower class, which the herd, and the herd simply follows what the upper class tells them. The upper class are the ones who are the elite, the elitist. When you have a North American union where you take down the trade barriers and you don't even bother to tell anybody about it, that's elitism.
Right, man.
Elitism is when you make all the decisions and nobody, it doesn't matter what you think about it. I know what's best for you. That's the elitist thinking. And you can see that developing in this country when you have the middle class. And the middle class, where's the middle class? Middle class, all these houses that are lost, that are dropping in value. For the first time since 1945, it's been a long time. For the first time since 1945, people owe more for their houses than they're worth. In plain words, their equity is less than what they owe for it. That's where it is. That's pretty bad, isn't it? All right, that's dealing with the middle class. Get rid of the middle class, then you have those people who are just simply subsist. They make it. They get from day to day, hand to mouth, and that's all they've got. Then you tell them how to live, and you control everything. Buy, sell, everything, movement, and all that. You do all that. That's exactly what's happening. That's what's coming. Now, in California, for example, I'm going to give you a little, three pieces of news, then we'll jump right into the scriptures. In California, the governor of California, his name's Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's an Austrian by birth, which means he can never become the president of this country. You have to be a natural-born U.S. citizen. And he is a Republican, all right, which has signed into law in the state of California that you will teach 4, 5, 6, all the way up children to accept sodomy as normal lifestyle as anything else. No question, all right, accept it now. Just the other day, most folks don't know this, but a judge, one man, ruled in the state of California that it is illegal to homeschool your children unless you have a teaching certificate. That's a big deal. One man, I don't know if he's a federal judge, if he's a district judge, or what he is, but one judge in the state of California dealing with a particular case made a sweeping judgment that affected every homeschooler in the state of California that you cannot homeschool your children unless you have a teaching certificate. What would you do with that if it's in Tennessee? What's happening? What's going on? Your liberties are being taken away from you. You cannot give the lower class liberties. You can't do that. If you're an elitist society, the lower class must be controlled. That's why you have to have cameras watching every move they make. You have to put chips in them. You have to identify them. You have to control them. They can't buy or sell except you control them. You control their movement. You control how much money they have. You control the supply of the money. You control how much that money costs. You control them. And you're watching your liberties being taken away piecemeal. Do your children belong to you or to the state? Let me take it back. Do the children belong to God or to the state? The Bible says your children are inheritance, are the heritage of the Lord.
Amen.
They belong to God, not the state. State changes. What if your state was Russia, Bolshevik Revolution, back 1920? What if that was your state? What if your state was Nazi Germany, back 1930s? Would that, which one is it? So a sweeping judgment in the state of California that you cannot homeschool your children. Now, you can go home and check me out on this. Fact is, I ask you to. I get emails all the time that's junk. The House passed this resolution, they're going to do this, and House did this, and this happened over here, and this one said this. I run in the reference and find it's just a bunch of junk. You're wasting your time. But check me out on it. Find out if what I'm saying is true. The state of California, ever noticed how stuff moves from the west to the east here in this country? The state of California wants to tax people by the mile. How are you going to tax them by the mile? They put a little instrument in your car. Not only do they know how far you've gone, they know where you are.
Amen.
What do you think about that? 98.5% of all the people in California, when they did a survey, said, no, we don't want that. That's scary, isn't it? Tax the mileage in your automobile. The power to tax is the power to do what? Control. It's about control. Now, for those of you that are paying $3.50, and that includes all of us, $4 for a gallon of gasoline soon to come, they're paying $5.25 a gallon someplace out in California. Diesel fuel's gone out of sight. I read an article yesterday where an old trucker up somewhere up, and truckers work hard, folks. If you've ever, if you don't know that, you need to know that. You think, well, that's just easy sitting by and, no, friend, that's hard work. Truckers work hard. And a lot of these old boys own their own rig, you know, and they'll haul a load and they'll get paid for that load. Well, they're paying twice as much now for a gallon of diesel fuel as they did a year ago. He said, he can't drive anymore, so he's parked his rig. Can't drive anymore. Diesel fuel has gone so high that the truckers, a lot of them now are parking their vehicles. That's the working society. Who's making all this money? Well, did you know that a massive oil deposit increased U.S. reserves by 10 times? America sitting on top of a supermassive 200 billion barrel oil field that could potentially make America energy independent till now has largely gone unnoticed. Thanks to new technology, the Bakken Formation in North Dakota could boost America's oil reserves by an incredible 10 times, giving Western economies the trump card against OPEC, that's the Organization of Petroleum Export to Countries, that's Saudi Arabia and Kuwait and the rest of them, by an incredible 10 times, giving Western economies the trump card against OPEC, short squeeze on oil supply and making Iranian and Venezuelan threats of disrupted supply irrelevant. In the next 30 days, the U.S. Geological Survey will release a new report giving an accurate resource assessment of the Bakken oil formation. And without taking time to read all of that, here's the bottom line. This was discovered back in the 50s. Since then, technology has developed that makes it much, much easier to get the oil from these sands and rocks and so forth as they could back then. And not only that, but technology has increased today to the point to where they can determine there is more oil there than they could back then. They're determining that there is more oil available than they ever imagined. Fact is, when the prices of gasoline, and this is a fact, just a few weeks ago when it began to skyrocket, they said that the gasoline reserves in this country were greater than they had been in a long time. So it is a contrived, artificial thing when they charge you more for gasoline. Bottom line, ask yourself this question. Why are they charging us so much for gasoline? What is it that they want to come out of this? What's the purpose of all of this? Remember the Hegelian dialect. Thesis, antithesis, or antithesis, produces synthesis. They're working on you all the time. They have a goal in mind. To present you with that goal in the beginning, you'd never accept it. But when they present you with an alternative that is unacceptable, they're able to bring together the synthesis that they wanted to begin with. And that's where they're working. They are controlling people. The price of, they know, that's the bottom. You have to have fuel. You have to have food. You don't have to fly in your private jet to Jamaica. They do. You don't have to go down to fly to Beverly Hills to shop. You know, they do. I mean, you don't have to have all, they do. But what they're doing is striking you where you live. It ought to make you so mad you can't stand it when you see the kind of money these people are making and they're controlling you. All right. Now that we've said all of that to inspire you and make you feel a lot better, I want to get into some of the religious aspect of what's going on. The Bible says that in Revelation 13 that the false prophet will cause the world to worship the image of the beast. Amen. Revelation 13. And by causing the world to worship the image of the beast, that means that worship is involved. Not only is he a political creature, he's a religious creature. And the world is going to worship this image. Well, now 30 years ago, it'd be hard. People understand how that could happen. But today, not so. Because today, things have changed so much in the way people think and the way they perceive things that it's a small step to worship a man.
Right.
Case in point, political thing going on right now.
Right.
I'm not pushing anybody's agenda. But people will worship people today. They worship people. And it shows you that their concept of God being a almighty transcendent being that is separate from his creation. He's not part of his creation. He doesn't need any of his creation to exist. He exists totally apart from his creation. He existed forever without a creation. One of the concepts of God is the simple fact that is beyond comprehension to understand that greatness that I'm talking about. Pantheism teaches that God is in his creation, that he is part of what he made, in some sense that he has, however they want to define it, describe it, what have you. In Eastern thought, you have what's called the yin and the yang. How many know what I'm talking about when I'm talking about yin and yang? You look at a circle. In that circle, you have an S formed. On one side, you have a white. The other is a black. The white usually is ascending. The black is descending. The white is the yang, which is masculine. The black is the yin, which is feminine. One masculine is positive, the white ascending, and the feminine that's black is descending is negative. One is good, the other is evil. But they're both within a circle. The idea is that you have night and day, heaven and earth. You have cold and hot. In other words, you have opposites from each other, but they are necessary to have the balance of nature and creation. All right? That's the Eastern mind. The Eastern mind, Hinduism, Confucianism, and the rest of them, see things in that sense. All right? They see it as a unified whole. All right, so yin-yang is very popular in the martial arts because the martial arts have taught that a person defends himself, yes, but he defends himself by becoming one with a world that he lives in and by receiving its strengths and tuning in to its forces and its powers. And if a blow is struck, you don't stop the blow, you divert the blow. So therefore, you are joining in with it, in a sense. See, it's that kind of philosophy and that kind of thinking. All right. But now, when you take that kind of thinking from the Eastern mind and project it over into the Western mind, and that's what your mind is, see. Well, you say, well, now, hold on a minute. There is a difference between black and white, cold and hot, East and West, and they're not the same. Fact is, they are opposing opposites. And you cannot join them together to make a whole. That would be like taking God and joining him with Satan to create a unified whole. God and Satan cannot coexist. It's impossible for good and evil to coexist. Not in Scripture. It doesn't do that. The Bible said light and the darkness comprehended it not. See, and the light in him was light, and the life was the light of the world. And the darkness comprehended him not. Darkness and light cannot coexist together. They are one and different in the other, all right? So the Western mind, therefore, finds a reason. The Western mind finds an understanding in this. We have to say, well, now, hold on a minute. That's not right. Whereas in the Eastern mind, he says, well, that's his way. I may not agree with his way, but that's his way. So the Eastern mind is relativistic, always has been, long before the Western mind became relativistic. But relativism is what they've been teaching your kids in the school system for 50 years. Relativism says that, well, I'm this way, you're that way, okay, you know, everybody has his own way. All right, this is your concept of God, this is my concept of God, this is your concept of God, this is the way it is. We all come together, though, to form a great whole. Your religion, my religion, his religion, we create a great synthesized religion. That's exactly what the Antichrist is looking for, and that's exactly what's coming. That's exactly what's being preached from the pulpits. How do you do that? First thing you do is diminish the identity of Jesus Christ because he's the great dividing line. You can't get around him. You've got to do something with Jesus Christ. what are you going to do with him? Because as long as he retains the identity, I am Almighty God, and there is no other God beside me, then you're going to have to deal with all these other gods, see? And that won't work. That won't synthesize. That won't fit in a hole. So you do, as I said before, you take the kids and you begin to teach them that there are no absolutes, and you teach them situation ethics, and you teach them political correctness. You brainwash them and bring them to the point where they are today, where they don't even know right from wrong. I mean, you took my space away, I'm going to blow you away, okay? See? I mean, can MySpace kill somebody? How different is that? Is there a big difference between not being able to watch MySpace and murdering somebody?
Yeah.
But kids don't know that today. They don't know that. See, MySpace is my way. I'm going to kill you. You violated MySpace. I'm entitled. See, I'm me. I'm wonderful. I'm great. I'm beautiful.
Right.
There's nothing apart from me. I'm the total sum of everything there is.
Right.
I'm God. That's New Age thinking. That's where they're headed. Let me show you. I'm going to jump to this one, but the way my thinking has led us to this. Lesson 29 from A Course in Miracles by Marianne Williamson, featured on Oprah Winfrey's XM satellite radio program during the January 29, 2008 broadcast. Williamson promotes pantheism, which means that God is in everything and is part of everything. Her listeners are given a list of things which God is in order to teach this concept. God is in this coat hanger. God is in this magazine. God is in this finger. God is in this lamp. God is in this body. God is in this door. God is in this wastebasket. God's in what then? God's in me. God's in you. God's in you. God's in you. If God's in you, then what's the purpose of the new birth? See? That's an irrelevant, that doesn't mean a thing to these people. Yet Marianne Williamson will talk about Jesus Christ all the time.
Right.
But when she talks about the Christ, she is not talking about the one you believe in.
Right.
They have completely changed the meaning of it.
Right.
When the New Ager, and they don't call themselves New Age anymore, they simply have morphed to the society today, but they still have their thinking. When they talk about Jesus Christ, they're talking about him from a Hindu Eastern mystic perspective, not from a scriptural perspective. So you've got to remember that. That is so important. That when you're talking to people today about Jesus Christ, they maybe have their mind maybe on some avatar, some mystic swami out here, and don't have a clue who you're talking about. You say, well, how could such a thing? That's exactly where we've come to. In any event, pantheism is the teaching common to the growing global religion. Another commentator noted, Warren Smith, an ex-New Ager, noticed that Rick Warren and Robert Schuller appeared to be teaching this doctrine.
Yep.
And devoted an entire chapter in 2004, book Deceived on Purpose.
Yeah.
The New Age Implications of the Purpose-Driven Church. Smith commented that Rick Warren's implication and Robert Schuller's contention that God is in every person. See? What's the difference in that and what Marianne Williamson is teaching on the Course of Miracles? An avowed New Ager. None. God is in every person is at the very heart of the New Age thinking. The New Century version that Rick Warren quotes is dangerously mistaken in its translation of Ephesians 4:6. Turn in your, if you've got a real Bible, turn in it to Ephesians 4:6. Now I'm going to read you from the New Century Version. Now I want you to read along with me in Ephesians 4:6 in the Scriptures while I read Ephesians 4:6 from this thing. All right. There is one God and Father of everything. He rules everything and is everywhere and is in everything. No, but what did it say? It said exactly what a pantheist believes. And it said exactly what the New Age is teaching. God's in everything. See that? And Ephesians 4:6 is a direct reference to who? Who's he talking to, brother? The body of Christ. One Lord, one faith, one baptism.
Amen.
That's who he's talking to. He's talking to believers. Well, this is kind of comic. These people who are criticizing the New Age, the New Century version, of course, use everything under the sun. And they're talking about the corruption of these versions. I thought that's quite a remarkable thing. They've come to the point now where they're criticizing the rest of this junk out here. And they don't realize that 50 years ago we took the simple position that the King James Bible's God's Word. But it's good anyway that they can see it. And in fact, it didn't take me long to find this same unbiblical teaching in A Course in Miracles.
Yep.
So what's this mean, preacher? It means that there's a connection between what Rick Warren, purpose-driven church, the mindset of the mega churches in this country, there's a thinking process. There's a system of thinking, and it's headed toward this synthesized religion, this New Age movement. It means that let me break it down simply. Most of the churches in this country that are not preaching the new birth, that are not giving out the clear doctrine of who Jesus Christ is. And I would force someone to say, who is he? I can tell you in 5 seconds what somebody is by what he says about Jesus Christ. Who is he? I'm not interested about your mission trips and your meetings. Who is Jesus Christ? See? I want to know who I'm talking to. And if they won't deal with that. They beat around the bush, and it's all of these unclear, uncertain statements about this and that and so forth and so on. It's simply this, that most of these churches in this country have come to the point now where the gospel is not preached, because if you don't preach Christ, there is no gospel. Amen. That they are leading people toward a one world religion where they will worship a man and accept that man, because if God is in you, then he's in him, and then he's in all. And that's exactly where they're headed. And folks, they're there. We've already witnessed too much of a change. We shouldn't be caught off guard. They're there. Let me give you this one before we run out of time. Rick Warren has teamed up with a New Age guru. His name is Ken Blanchard. He has also invited a New Age guru by the name of Leonard Sweet to speak at the 2008 Saddleback Small Groups Conference called Wired. The theme of the conference is Prepare Your Church for Spiritual Growth and Connectivity. And for this, I don't have the time now. We've run out of time to get into all of this. But he connects him with Matthew Fox, these are deep New Agers.
Yeah.
Willis Harmon, Global Mind Change. Matthew Fox, author of The Coming of the Cosmic Christ.
Yeah.
Stuff like this. These are the people that Rick Warren is having into his church. And of course, you understand, we say, what is so much about Rick Warren? Well, all these clones.
Yeah.
And Knoxville has a bunch of clones.
Yep.
They're clones, folks. That's all they are. We have churches in this town that call themselves Baptist churches that are clones of the purpose-driven church. And it's gotten to the point now where if you know somebody that goes to one of these churches, I would ask them point blank. I would say to them, I'm not going to make this about our church and your church and about, you know, even your denomination, my denomination. What do you believe about Jesus Christ? If they give you the truth and come across as a real Christian, then say to them, well, you find out what your pastor believes about Jesus Christ and the leadership in your church. And if they don't believe what you believe, get out of it. Because the Bible says in the book of Revelation, come out from among them. Separate yourself, my people. This transition's coming. We're at it now. We'll pick it up again next week and show connections. Yes, sir.
There's a quote out of one, because I've been studying this too, on this Course of Miracles.
Yeah.
And one of the things that they say is the Son of God is not Jesus, but our combined Christ consciousness.
But exactly. The Son of God is not a person. The Son of God is a spiritual aspect, some kind of a thing that you're talking about there. Which comes on all of us.
Right.
See. In other words, Jesus Christ is not greater than me. I am equal to him.
Right.
In that same sense. This is how far off the New Age is and these doctrines from the truth of Scripture.
Amen.
I hope you all followed along with us today. Because stuff I'm covering is heavy stuff. But I'll tell you right now, it is so important. Yes, sir. You're God, brother. You don't need to repent.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a passage in the Gospel of John, chapter number 6, where the Lord Jesus said, it is written and it says that ye are gods. And they love to go to that passage and use that as a reference to the fact that Jesus Christ said, we're gods. All right, I can't cover that today. I've run out of time. All right? But I'll show you next week in the Scripture who he's talking about. And it's found in the 82nd Psalm. He's not talking about men. Not at all. Not at all. That's not about men. Yet they want to make it about men. And I've heard good Baptist preachers and teachers teach as if he was talking about men. And he's not. We're not gods. We are not gods. Never have been. Never will be. Nowhere in the Bible does it ever say that God's going to make us a god. We're sons of God by the new birth. Amen. Father, I pray in Jesus' name you bless the study of your word now and open the hearts of my brothers and sisters to receive the truth. And Father, let them be as the Bereans. Lord, we ask them to be as the Bereans and check these things to see if they be so. We pray this in Jesus' name.